Miss that. It's not as much fun giving the kids sermon at my house like I've been doing. Jesus said some very difficult words today. This is one of my favorite verses that he says because it sounds like a subversive. You know, there's this wonderful Christmas carol called The Rebel Jesus. If you've never heard it, find it. I think it's Irish. I know that Elvis Costello sings it. And he's not Irish, but, you know, it's all the same to me. They're over that water thingy, the ocean. It's a wonderful song, The Rebel Jesus. Makes you feel good. Jesus is going to get those people because he is awesome and he's a rebel. He's a love rebel. And here Jesus says some of the hardest things he says in the whole Bible. I'll recap with you. Follow along with me in your gospel reading. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, which is terribly specific. And a person's enemies will be of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross up and follow it is not worthy of me. It goes on, and it's very difficult. Jesus spoke in these rabbinical terms, which were for great emphasis, and I'm not going to take this message and turn it into a message of sweetness and light. My wonderful Greek professor once told us the story of Jesus clearing the temple, and he said, I know it says here a whip of cords, but if you look at the Greek very carefully, really what he meant was like a broom, and he kind of swept the people out of there. And I was like, no, he didn't. He was mad, and he chased them out with a whip. That's the way it is. We want that sweet baby Jesus in a manger with gold lame, right? We want that sweet baby Jesus. We want that sweetness. But some of the things that God has to do in our lives are surgery, are difficult. We have to struggle with them. So when he says, if you don't love me more than you love your father and mother, he means love me more than your father and mother, and then your relationship with your father and mother may be blessed. But if you put them first, it's going to be difficult. Well, it's not going to be as difficult. You're going to get along with them. You're going to talk to them. You're going to have wonderful agreement because you really want to get along with them. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, he's going to change your heart a little bit, and some of the things in your closer relationships will become struggles, and you're going to have to engage those struggles. And everybody knows when you get the closest people you love and you engage in struggles, it becomes Thanksgiving. It becomes difficult. But God says, love me more than you love your neighbor, and you'll be able to love your neighbor the right way. Love me, says Jesus, more than you love your son or your daughter, and you may struggle with them, but you'll be able to be their father or mother better than if you could before. The world will be put right. The order will be re-healed. The brokenness of when we have separated ourselves from God will be repaired in a very specific place in your family and life. But know that when you follow me as Lord and Savior, when you take up your cross, when you say things like, I have to do this because God has called me to it, your family, your friends, just like Job's friends and Noah's friends will come by and say, what are you doing? That's ridiculous. And since they're the closest people in your life, it'll be very difficult for you. It'll be a struggle. No one likes to be criticized by people they love. It's the worst. And so, walking through your own marriages and walking through your own lives and walking through your own parenthood, God may call you to be different than who you are so that you may serve Him. To step outside of your comfort, so God's will be done on this earth, bringing blessing to the entire world. The message of Paul's letter to the Romans today is, gives us a glimpse into what some of the troubles of humanity are. Paul was writing to the church in Rome when he was not in Rome. He was away from Rome. He had only heard of the church in Rome. He had sent disciples there to become pastors there, and he was not yet in Rome. And he had heard, though, and he knew the Roman culture. He was very concerned that the people in Rome were the opposite of humble. They were becoming conceited in their faith in Christ. They were becoming haughty in their faith in Christ. Haughty is a good word. We don't use it much. They were becoming better than other people, right? And he said, that's the big mistake. That's a big mistake. You know, the society tells you, get ahead, be in charge, be strong, be smarter, be, you know, go ahead. And the Lord says, serve. Serve and bless. Those are not, they don't go together, those two things. But the Romans were living in Rome, which at that time was like, you know, New York City after 10 o'clock at night. It was like Las Vegas all day long. It was multicultural. It was the tons of tourist industry designed to please tourists. You know what that's like. Go to Myrtle Beach. Industry designed to please tourists. That's what it was like. And the Christians there were also getting caught up in this worldliness. And it made them feel better. Well, I'm also a Christian, so I'm so much better. One of the exciting things about moving from where we were before to the Anglican Church in North America, for me, is that there is a connection now, officially a connection, with other Christian denominations outside of the Anglican Communion. I now have a freedom I didn't have when I was an Episcopalian to be openly in ministry with Presbyterians. I know it sounds like, why couldn't we do that before? But it's real. I can now minister with Baptists and other people. I could be doing for a long time and not telling anybody. But it's part of our mandate now to reach out beyond our walls to all people and team up with all people of faith in Jesus Christ. And you want to have a difficult discussion? Bring Jesus Christ into a conversation between two different denominations. And you get to their point where that one thing they disagree on, that will be, that's a serious time. You ever fought with your Baptist friends over infant baptism? Oh my gosh, that's great. Or whether wine was real wine or not. You get so caught up in that, you forget about Jesus. And now we have the opportunity as humble Anglicans to walk in this world and minister to a world with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm telling you, it's going to be very exciting. We are now officially members of the Anglican Church in North America. And our first mission is to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, to give thanks for this opportunity. Now, part of the, again, part of the third largest group of Christians in the entire world, we have brothers and sisters all over this world who are not just living and fighting the good fight. They are living in oppression. They are dying. They are struggling because they are evangelistic and they want to bring the gospel to people and they want to heal people in the name of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's the cross we're supposed to pick up. That's why we're supposed to put God above our families. Not take our families and run away from them, but know that God, family, us, that's the right order. It's a struggle. It's a struggle because family worship is central to who I am and who you are, maybe. And God's calling us to look to Him, to put Him in the center of all of our relationships now. Read this verse when you go home. And I want you to take the word sin and change it for the actual meaning. The word translated into sin is martyreo, and the word martyreo means falling short. So when you read this through, you may think of yourself, sinner, 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 if that's who you are. Or you may think of those other people over there as sinner, 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 sinner as you read this. But martyreo means something It's important. The actual definition of sin is falling short of the mark. So instead of sin, I am a sinner. It's a good phrase, and you should remember it. But if you say to yourself, I am the person who falls short of the mark, I can't quite get to where God wants me to get, that's a more clear picture of what it means to be out of line with Jesus Christ. Because when we are out of line with Jesus Christ, we always fall short of the mark. We cannot achieve what God wants for us. We cannot love another person enough. We cannot love God enough. We cannot be as giving and caring as we are idolatrous, and we try to find those things which give us instant gratification. But when we have Jesus Christ in our life, when he is part of our salvation process, when we really want to get to him for all eternity, he will pick up where we left off and walk the rest of the way. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the mark. No one is righteous. It's just the way it is. And thank God that he loves us so much that he would not leave us in that halfway point, but he sends his son, Jesus Christ, to pick up where we left off and take us to the target. An arrow. We shoot the arrow. He gets to be halfway down there. He'll grab it. He'll take it to the bullseye. So, we have a struggle, and I've gone to 17 different places today in my sermon. I've gone all over the place, but the thing is that we're called to serve God in a more powerful way than Sunday. Going to church is essential and important, and like my wife pointed out to me this week, it is the easiest stinking thing to do. If you're a Christian and all you do is go to church, if you're a Christian and you're not coming to church, what are you doing? All you got to do is get up and go to church. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. You can even sit here during the Eucharist, but you'd be in church. If you're just doing that, God has a hold of you. God bless you. And if you wake up one morning like I did every morning of my life and I do all the time and think, gosh, man, it's so pretty outside and I should go fishing. The easiest thing I can do for Jesus is just show up at church. The next thing I can do for church is say, for Jesus is say, what do you have for me to do when I'm not here at church? Who am I supposed to be when I'm not here at church? Am I so arrogant that I am hurting other people? Am I taking time out of my busy schedule to not be a Christian to other people during the week? Am I neglecting you in prayer? That's the next level. That's 201. You get a brand new Christian all baptized up. They're fun to be with, man. They love Jesus. Woo-hoo-hoo! And they say, let's have a 6-month Bible study where we sit. What? That's extra work I was not. Because I was really excited about getting to Jesus. But now I got to give to Jesus? I'll come to an end. We're walking now as members of the Anglican Church in North America. Doesn't change a whole lot. May change our flag a little bit. We're going to put a patch on it. It's going to be good. Won't change much else. But it will mean that we will be now walking with millions of others who are seeking God's will and how to bring the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ into a hurting world in a way we have not been in partnership before, and it's exciting. And you're going to hear things you've never heard before, and you're going to see things you've never done before, and you're going to get an opportunity to be a part of things which weren't available to us, and I want you to say, yes, God. Yes, God. I'll do it. Let's pray. Gracious Father, your blessing has been poured out on us in many ways. You have brought, through the Holy Spirit, leadership and faith into this church that is stronger than it has been in a long while. And gracious Father, I give you thanks for that. Your Holy Spirit is present and we can feel you, and that we are grateful for the opportunity to serve you. Give us clarity and direction, Lord God. Lift up our leadership and give us direction. Fill the hearts of those who are new to you, gracious Lord, with a desire and a zeal for your love and grace and mission in this world. Holy Spirit, come and bless this congregation. If you're visiting, Lord God, they're visiting today, I pray you would latch onto them today. Help them to know that you are constantly with them and not just here on Sunday. Blessing on all of us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.